When I was growing up, I had an aunt who was a sister of a good shepherd. And she was able to be with us a long time because she was stationed in Denver, Colorado for a while. And this was back in the day when, you know, you could tell a nun because she was in full habit, a long time ago. She entered the convent when she was 17, and they kept her. She was a cloistered nun until she was 30. Then they kicked her out. Said, go work in the world. And so she became mother to generations of unwed mothers, because that's who she worked with. The order that she spent time in and worked with were about taking care of the marginalized and the least loved in our culture. Sister never really caught up outside the cloister. She knew that if she wanted money, she would go to Mother, and Mother would say, how much do you need, Sister? And Sister would tell her, and Sister would give her the money, and off she would go. She lived simply. She lived quietly. She, for me, was what a holy person looked like. And then as I grew older and joined the Dominicans, there was a brother, a cooperator brother, in Denver, who had entered the order in 1937, and I entered the order in 1990. So you can think about Brother Henry and his life. Brother Henry was a quiet brother. He had stories of times when he was working with the priests, but he gently, quietly went about praying and helping the novices and helping the people in the community that needed help. We had morning prayer at 7 o'clock, and by 7 o'clock, Brother Henry had already said two rosaries. I'd come in early and find him in the back of the chapel saying a rosary. And when he fell asleep, he'd get up and go downstairs and walk up and down the hallway so that he could get his rosaries in. When I was there, one of the older Dominicans died, and before the funeral, Brother Henry and I were sitting together, and I said, Henry, you and Dennis Zuzzi are the kind of Dominicans that I want to grow up to be like. He, for me, at that time in my life, was a holy person. Obviously, they're both in heaven now, because I truly believe that they probably were saints. And I would offer to you that each of us in our lives have people who we have come across, who we have met or experienced in one way or another, who we could look at them and say, how saintly, how holy, how prayerful, how caring and compassionate, how blessed are they in so many different ways. And so what I want you to do for a minute is I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to bring that person up into your heart, into your mind. I want you to hold them there. Because those are the people who long to see God's face. They committed their lives gently, quietly, fervently, passionately, intentionally, day after day, to being blessed, to living out Scripture, to living out the Beatitudes, to living out the commandments given to them by other saints. Everyone we have back here on the wall, these newest saints, had families. Brothers and sisters, parents, some of them not so great in terms of the families, but they gave themselves over to God's life, to God's prayer, and now we honor them in heaven. So too the people that we have in our hearts, they may not have been canonized officially by the church, But we're pretty sure that if there are people in heaven, the people in our hearts are among those people. I would offer to you that we too have within us the capacity, the capability, the power in our hearts and minds and souls and bodies to be saints to someone. Someone in our lives that we can serve as an example of God's love and God's presence and what it looks like when we live it out in our ministry, in our prayer, in our study, in our community. It's an awesome responsibility. But it's one that we don't operate in alone. Neither did the saints that we honor today. Not just the seven new ones, but all of the saints through all the generations. They understood the power of community. Even if they were alone, they understood the power of community. The men and women who were martyred in the darkest nights alone understood the power of the community of prayer that they existed in. The power of the presence of Jesus Christ in their hearts and their minds and their souls. They understood that. And they stood up against the persecution. In the darkest nights when we're not sure, when we're scared, when we are uncertain, when we are alone, rest assured that the community is with you always. That's the power we have in our church. That's the power we have in our belief in Jesus Christ. That's the power we have in the Eucharist. At any given time on this globe, some priest somewhere is offering the Eucharist, is praying, or studying, or doing ministry. Any time on the globe, darkest night, earliest morning, wherever. And that's the power of our community. The community of saints in heaven. Do I know what heaven looks like? Nope, don't. I can tell you unequivocally that if all they have is harps, I'm not going. But I'm pretty sure that there's more than that. There's the men and women that we hold in our hearts today, standing before the throne, washed in God's blood, worshiping, adoring, praying. That's where we want to be, all of us. That's what we're headed for. That's what we pray for. That's what we work toward. Is it always easy? Nope. Are we always successful? Nope. But that's where we're headed. That's why we think about the Beatitudes. Blessed be, blessed are they, blessed are they. Blessed are we if we enter in to those activities, to those thoughts, to those prayers, to those ministries, to that love. Blessed are we. Blessed are we.